Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. This week is turning into what I guess is part three of our series of listening to people being interrogated and having the read technique applied to them in the different reactions and the different circumstances. Hopefully, these last several weeks have been interesting to all of you. This was really not my intention to do this kind of long series on interrogations, the read technique, peace model, and potential false confessions. We started out just by analyzing Richard Allen's interviews, and one thing led to another. And as you guys know, during these off seasons, I like to cover things that I feel are educational, help promote other creators that are doing good work in the space, and just talk about things that interest me. And interrogation techniques are definitely one of those things, particularly when it comes to false confessions. So up to this point, we heard Richard Allen being interrogated and not confess. Legally speaking, he was guilty of the crimes that he was being interrogated for, but there are still a lot of people who have some questions about that conviction. In the second part of our series, we heard from Chris Watts. We heard the read technique applied to him, a man who we know is guilty, and heard him confess when pressure was applied. After that interview, several of you asked if they could hear a guilty person being interrogated, having the read technique applied, who doesn't confess, so we could hear what that sounds like. Did a lot of research this week trying to find a good interview to play for you, one that clearly fits kind of all of our criteria. And I didn't find one that is perfect, but I found one that's pretty close. What you're about to hear today over the next 45 minutes or so is the second police interrogation of Casey Anthony. Now, the reason I say that she doesn't fit squarely into the box is because legally speaking, Casey Anthony is not guilty. She was acquitted in a court of law. However, a lot of people still believe that she was guilty. Now, I'm not here to turn this into a Casey Anthony debate. There are plenty of other shows that can do that. But I still think that it's a good example, regardless of how you land on her guilt or innocence, because what we do know here is that she is lying. At the very least, in a later interview, I believe it was in 2022, Casey Anthony admitted that her father, she claims, showed her Kaylee's lifeless body. So what you hear in this interview, where she insists she just doesn't know where Kaylee is and she just wants to find her daughter, based on her own words, is certainly not true. And like I said, there are a wide array of opinions on this case, from people who think that Casey Anthony intentionally murdered her daughter, to it was an accident and she hid the body, to her father killed Kaylee and Casey knew about it and helped hide the body, to Casey had no idea what was going on at all. But the reason I chose this interview is because it's set up almost exactly like the other two interviews. If you remember in Richard Allen's second interview, the detectives moved on to the phase of the read technique where the suspect is presented with overwhelming evidence of their guilt. This is where the pressure is applied. We talked about this last week with Professor Hirsch. From there, they move into the phase where they basically offer them two solutions. Either you're a horrible monster who committed these murders, or you're not a monster, you were just put into a bad situation. They try to minimize the effect. This process did not work with Richard Allen. We heard the exact same thing in Chris Watts' interview. For him, it was the polygraph. They come back. We know you failed the polygraph. We know you're lying. We have all this other evidence. We've got you dead to rights. So are you a monster, or did you have no choice? Did Shanann do something to the girls? Is that what led to this? And in Chris Watts' case, he took the bait and he parroted back their own story to at first his father and then to the detectives. In this interview with Casey Anthony, we've got the same set of circumstances. She had been interviewed earlier. It had already been through the rapport building stage. She had already put a non-confrontational story onto the record. And after that, the police went and investigated the things she told them. And now they brought her back in and they're confronting her with indisputable evidence. Everything she said was a lie. They know that she knows where Kaylee is. Same setup as the other two, different result. Much like Richard Allen, you're going to hear that she doesn't take the bait. What you're going to be listening for are the differences in how she doesn't take the bait. In Richard Allen's case, he was abhorrent. He just continued to say, nope, that's not possible. This indisputable evidence that you are saying you have is not true, can't be true, impossible, and he doesn't falter from that. In Casey Anthony's case, she also doesn't admit any wrongdoing, but she does it in a very different way. She's very nonchalant about it. She doesn't get confrontational about it. And she doesn't do what the detectives are kind of wanting her to do, which is to explain it away. She just kind of ignores it. Now, in this particular instance, I feel like the detectives didn't do the best job in conducting the retechnique in the fact that, and when you listen, you'll hear this, I think they just talk too much. They kind of let Casey off the hook because they are filling the voids. They continue to talk rather than making her uncomfortable. But they are applying the different steps. We have indisputable evidence. We know you're lying. We know that you know something. Are you a monster, or were you in a position where you had no choice? So what I want you to do is listen to this interview, hear what it sounds like when someone who is at least guilty of something, based on her own words, holds up against the retechnique and denies everything along the way. So without any further ado, let's get right into it. Here's Casey Anthony's second police interview.
Right now is July 16th, 2008. It's about the 1320 hour for Universal Studios. I'm here with Sergeant Allen. I'm here with Detective Happy Wells. I'm also here with Casey Anthony. And Casey, we talked earlier this morning, and we're working a case looking for your daughter, Kaylee. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. We came here to Universal Studios. We're sitting in a little conference room. Yeah, obviously the door isn't locked. We just closed it so we could have a little bit of privacy and talk to you. And a couple more questions came up I need to ask you about. Remember how I opened this whole thing in the morning?
Yeah.
By saying that, you know, we need to get complete truth and the snowball effect and how it goes. Okay. We're about halfway down that hill, three quarters down that hill. It's a pretty big snowball, which means that there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you just for a certainty that everything you've told me so far has been a lie. I can tell you that with a certainty, and let me explain why. Since I left you this morning, I've gone to every address that you told me. I've looked up every name. I've talked to every person that you want me to talk to or try to. I've reached out. I've talked to your ex-boyfriend. I've talked to Amy. I've talked to Tony. I came over here. I've already talked to all the employees. Mm-hmm. I found out all these names you're giving me are people that either never worked here or have been fired here for a long time ago. Okay. So where we are right now is in a position that doesn't look very good for you. And this is going to be your escape hatch, so to speak. And this is going to be the point where you stop all the lies and you stop all the fibs and you tell us exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just being straight with you. Because obviously, I know, and you know, that everything you've told me is a lie, correct?
Not everything that I told you.
Okay. Pretty much everything that you've told me, including where Kaylee is right now.
That I don't know where she is.
Sure you do. And here,
absolutely.
Let me explain something. Together, a combined experience in this room, we all have about 30 years of doing this. Mm. Okay, both myself and Sergeant John Allen worked for the Homicide Division for several years. We've dealt with several people. We've conducted thousands of interviews between the three of us. Yeah, you know, I think we've got 20 years. So just between the three of us, we've got several years. And I can tell you for a certainty that right now, looking at you, I know that everything that you told me is a lie, including the fact that, you know, your child was last seen about a month ago and that you don't know where she is. See, I'm very confident just by having talked to you the short period of time that you know where she is.
I don't.
You do. And here's the thing. We need to get past that because we can sit here and go back and forth all day long about I don't, I do, I don't, I do. It's pretty obvious that with everything that you've told us, nothing has been the truth. You know where she is. Now, my question to you is this. We need to find Kaylee. I understand that right now, Kaylee may not be in very good shape. You understand what I'm saying? She may not be the way we or the way your family last remembers her. We need to find out from you where Kaylee is. This right now is just, this is going so far downhill and this has become such a mess that we need to end it. It's very simple. We just need to end it.
I agree with you. I have no clue where she is.
Sure.
If I knew in any sense where she was, this wouldn't have happened at all.
It
wouldn't have happened whatsoever.
This stuff about Zanny, the caretaker or the nanny taking care of us, it's not the truth because it went to the apartment complex. There's no person that ever lived there by that name. The apartment's been vacant since March. The same apartment. Now, the apartment that you pointed out to me, the two-story apartment, that's an old folks home. It's right across the street from your ex-boyfriend's house, who you never mentioned. And you said you wrote the address down because it was across the street. That's a lie, because I've already talked to him, and you know, we've already been by the house, and we've already, you know, looked at everything we need to look at over there. Yeah. Everything you told us is a lie. Well, now, there's a couple of ways that this goes. Right now, we can, you know, I've never met you before, so I can look at you in one of a couple of ways. I can look at you as a person who's scared, who's concerned, and who's kind of afraid of what's going to happen because of something bad that happened before. Or we can look at you as cold, callous, and a monster who doesn't care, who's just trying to get away with something that something bad that happened and trying to cover it up. Mm. It's going to be one of those two options. Now, from what I've already talked to you, okay, you seem like a very bright young lady. You don't seem like someone who has no education. Mm. All right. Now, what we have to do is we have to determine which way is this going to go. Are you a person who's scared about consequences of what happened, or are you scared about something that happened, or are you really this cold, callous person who doesn't care about what happened? Is it one of these two options?
I'm scared that I don't know where my daughter is. I would not have put my entire.
Hold on. I want to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
So like you said, you seem like a pretty bright person. Okay, you're here willingly, right? You're here because you're here to try to help, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Your whole reason for talking to us is to try to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's forced you to talk to us, right? You're here because you called. You want us to help find your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you something. I want you to put yourself in somebody else. Put yourself in my shoes for a minute, okay? Since you've talked to him this morning in an attempt to try to help find your daughter. You've given him bad addresses, okay? You drove me all the way out here. We walked from the gate back here on the way to your office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To an office that you don't have. We got all the way into the building, into the hallway out here before you finally said, well, I really don't have an office here. Well, because then we were walking to your office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does any of this make sense to you?
I understand how all
of
that sounds.
No. Here's the problem with that, though, okay? You can carry the weight of this around for a long time. It's not going to get any easier, okay? What he's trying to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you, you know, in the amount of time that I've done this, almost 30 years now, okay? I've learned this. People make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. All the three of us have all made some mistakes in our lives. We've done some things we're not proud of, okay? But then there comes the point, honey, you either own up to it, you say you're sorry, you try to get past it, or you lie about it, you bury it, you lie about it, you bury it, you lie about it, you bury it, and it just never, ever, 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 ever goes away, okay? That's it, okay? Now, you know, I want you to stop and think about what's going on here, okay? At this point, we could explain that you're afraid, you know, that you were ashamed of maybe something bad that happened. You were afraid that maybe it happened. But now that we're giving you this opportunity and you continue to lie and you continue to lie, then what happens at some point, it becomes, there's no excuse. There's no reason. There's no reasonable, a reason for full of this ago. Wow. This is a person who really just doesn't care. Okay. I mean, think about what we've done so far. Okay. You say you call us because you want our help. You want us to find your daughter. Okay. I'm calling you and I'm asking you for help. I'm asking you to help me find my child. It's been gone now for a month. Okay. And to help you help me find the child, what I've done to this point is I've given you a bunch of bad addresses to go look at, addresses that don't exist. Okay. Then I take you to a place where I tell you that I work. Okay. And I walk you past the security gate. Okay. All the way to my office that I don't have. Okay. You start to get the picture? Do you understand where we're headed here?
I understand.
Okay. Now, you know, you're by hiding this, by burying this, okay, you are not going to get yourself to a better place, okay? What you're going to do is you're going to cause everybody else around you to suffer, okay? And at some point, this is going to come out. It always does. Mm-hmm. It always comes out, okay? Now, your best bet is to try to put this behind you as quickly as you can. Go to your parents and tell them, you know, some horrible accident, whatever happened, get it out in the open now, okay? Instead of letting them worry, okay? How old are you?
26.
At some point, okay, you're going to want to mend things with your family, okay? You let this drag out for another 3 days, another week, another 2 weeks, okay? You make us solve this some other way. We'll solve it. We always do, okay? Okay? I mean, there's no point in coming forward to say, oh my God, this is what really happened once we figured it out. Okay. You ever had anybody do anything wrong to you? You have anybody hurt you in any way? Okay. Let me ask you a question. When somebody's hurt you in the past and they've come to you and said, I'm sorry. Okay. I really am. I'm from the bottom of my heart. I'm sorry for what happened. Do you forgive them?
Yeah.
What about somebody that does something to you and then lies, you forgive them?
It's a lot harder too sometimes.
A lot harder too? Tell me the last time somebody hurt you over and over and let you suffer for a period of time and then lied about it and then you caught them, okay? Well, one thing, once you caught them, that apology didn't mean a hell of a lot, did it? Okay? All right? Right now, your best bet is to just get it out in the open, whatever happened, and tell us now, okay? So we can kind of start getting past this. Try to help you explain, okay? Because keep in mind, you're talking to people. There's nothing you're going to tell any of the three of us that's going to surprise us, okay? I had to sit down with mothers who rolled over in their babies accidentally. I've had to sit down with mothers whose kids have drowned in swimming pools. I've had to sit down with mothers who had boyfriends who beat their kids to death, who felt horrible about what happened. And then I've had to go to them and help them try to explain to their families. Okay. And then I've also had to deal with people who have done horrible, unspeakable things to children and then lied about it. Okay. And I'll bet you somewhere in there, I probably dealt with somebody who maybe made a mistake, but it continued to lie about it, that maybe they weren't such a bad person, but maybe the whole world didn't see it that way. Maybe their family didn't see it that way because they kept lying about it. And then when finally came in, and then months down the road or days down the road, when they finally decided to come forward, okay, people were past it. You told me that you've lied to me for the last time. I don't listen to what you have to say. Don't talk to me anymore, okay? Mm-hmm. We've had to go into court and try to help people explain situations. And we've had to go into court at times to say, you know, the person just never said, they kept lying to us and kept lying to us and lying to us and lying to us, okay? We're all human beings, okay? Mm-hmm. You tell me. I mean, you're a smart person. Figure it out, okay? So far, well, the only thing that we can say for sure at this point, okay, is that you have lied to him about all these things. You brought us here, okay? All right? Now, I want you to look at this from an outsider's perspective. Somebody somewhere down the road, we have to decide, you know, how this all plays out. What would you do? How would you see that person? How would you see that person differently? You might see somebody, maybe a young mother who made a mistake and, you know, maybe initially was afraid to tell the truth, but at some point came forward and said, horrible thing happened. I'm sorry. I feel terrible about it, but I have to tell you.
The horrible thing that happened, and this is the honest to God's truth of everything that I've said, I do not know where she is. The last person that I saw her with is Zenaida. She's the last person that I've seen my daughter with.
And see, here's the problem. And I think Sergeant Allen's trying to get to this is that we know that's not the truth. We know, we know that that's not true. That can't be the truth. Because if that were the truth, everything you would have told us would have been on the money. The addresses you would have taken us would have been on the money. Everything else would have matched. If you had told us the truth, we wouldn't be here at Universal Studios at a place that you've been fired since 2006. When you're trying to explain to us, you know, you have an office and all that stuff. We wouldn't be here. So we know, and this is the part we need to get past. We already know that you're not telling us the truth, that you know what happened to Kaylee and you know where Kaylee is. But here's what we're trying to get by is that you fall into one of two categories. And now I'm sure he explained it, and I explained it, is that if this is something, an accident that happened, and no matter how do you think people are going to look at you, they're going to look at you a lot worse if you continue showing that you're callous or not caring. And that you just show complete dispassion and disregard for human life.
Mm.
Or they can look at you as someone that, you know what, I can understand. I'm a young mother, or she's a young mother, first child. Something horrible happened. She's thinking, oh my God, my life isn't going good right now. I already know my life is struggling. People don't see me in that great of a light. I know I got problems at home. I know I got problems with friends. I know I got problems at work or lack of work. All of a sudden, something bad happens to my child, but people are going to think, I'm just a devil. See, there's a difference between this person who makes a mistake and says, listen, I'm sorry. This is the reason I lied to you. This is the reason I was scared, compared to the person who might sit here and say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference there. And I can tell you now that everything you've told me is a lie. Everything that you've told me this morning from Zanny, from the addresses, from Universal, from all these people that you've talked to, including people that you never told me their names, and I found them and talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that you've told me this morning is a lie. Every single thing. There's one of two options right now. You need to tell me the truth, and we can work with that.
Mm.
Or if you continue down this path and continue lying, I can tell you that when this snowball gets to the bottom of the hill, the only person that's going to get hurt in it is you.
That's not true. A lot of people around you get hurt.
Your parents.
A lot of people are hurting right now. And
you know what? One person puts stop to that.
I've been trying.
You haven't been trying.
Wait a minute. Okay. Let's go through this again, okay?
Today's episode is sponsored by First Form. All right, I got another new flavor to talk to you about. Well, it's not new, but it's back, and it's one of my favorites. Like I've been telling you guys for over a year now, one of the things that's great about First Form is that they managed to make all these supplements that are great for your body, great to help you meet your goals, but they make them in a way that it's easy to sustain. And one of the ways they do that is they make everything taste delicious. When you're eating one of their protein bars or drinking a protein shake or their collagen, whatever it is, they make all these products taste so good that you actually look forward to them. And the flavor that just came back that I just stocked back up on is the red velvet cake flavor for their level 1 protein powder. Now, the red velvet cake isn't the only good flavor. There's tons of them. They have your traditional milk chocolate, vanilla ice cream. I've talked to you before about the ice cream cookie flavored. They've got caramel latte. Another favorite of mine is their blueberry muffin flavor. They got a strawberry milkshake. It's a long list of great flavors. But anybody that knows me knows that my favorite cake or cupcake of any kind whatsoever is red velvet. I love it. And the red velvet level 1 protein powder is the absolute best. Just try it once. That's all it takes to understand what makes Level 1 such an incredible protein. Level 1 is so delicious that you'll wonder how you ever got by using anything else. It was designed from the ground up, just like all their products, to be one thing. The best. First Form's goal was to create the best tasting, best mixing, and most importantly, highest quality protein on the market, bar none. And after a year in the lab and over 100 rejected versions later, their mission was accomplished. I'm telling you, this stuff is delicious. I drink my protein powder right after my workouts, at least most of the time. Sometimes I save it for later in the night and I make a high protein ice cream in our Ninja ice cream maker, which by the way, if you have one of those, all of these level 1 protein powders, take your pick. They all make the best ice cream. The red velvet cake is really good for it. And so is the ice cream cookie flavor. The point is, if you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to get in shape, you're trying to get a nutrition plan for you that works, one of the first things that you need to do is to find supplements that actually taste good, that you look forward to drinking or eating or whatever it is, and First Form is loaded with them. And you can give them a try right now with free shipping if you go to my URL, firstform.com/truth. At that URL, if you spend $75 or more, they're going to give you free shipping. And this is one of the best parts. If you're a new customer, if you've been listening to these ads for the last year and you think, I'm finally going to try it, and you're brand new, they're also going to email you a link to try the First Form app for free for a month. Like I've told you many times before, the app is really the key to success. At least it has been for me. I'm down 99.8 pounds. I'm so waiting to make the social media post when I finally have lost 100 pounds. I'm less than a pound away from getting there. But the key to my success was using the app to set my goals and track my macros combined with all the supplements that I get right from First Form's website. So if you're serious about making a change, and you're looking to lose some weight and get in shape long term, not just for a couple of weeks. This has been almost a 3-year journey for me. You need to check out First Form. Today's the day. Go to firstform.com/truth. That's the number one, STPHORM.com/truth. If you spend $75 on products, they're going to give you free shipping. And if you're a new customer, they'll email you that link to try the app for free for a month. One more time, that's firstform.com/truth. Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Stop me at the part that I say that's not true, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to go through this, and I want you to stop me at the part that isn't the truth, okay? Mm-hmm. You take your daughter and you drop her off on June the 9th, okay, at somebody at a babysitter's house, okay? Now, this is a babysitter that lives at this apartment, okay? It's been vacant.
Drops her off at that apartment. Okay. At those stairs.
Oh, you just walked her, you dropped her off?
Walked her to the stairs. That's where I've dropped her off a bunch of other times. Besides just that day.
Okay. And when you dropped her off, you took her at that point.
Zanny did. She took her.
So you left her in Zanny's care on June the 9th. Okay. So far, that's right. Yes. Okay. You first call the police about this when your mother and father, okay. Actually, you don't call the police to report your daughter missing. What happens is your parents find their car that's been sold for Van Scott, and your parents ask you where your daughter is, and you tell your daughter or your parents you haven't seen your daughter for over a month, right? That's true, okay? So I haven't told anything. So far, I haven't said anything's not true, okay? That's true, okay? Sounds reasonable to you, correct? Okay? When the police do get involved, okay, when your parents involve the police in an attempt to locate your child because they're worried, the first thing you do, okay, is you lie to the detective whose job it is to try to find your daughter and get her back into safe hands, okay? You give him all kinds of bad addresses to look at, right? Okay? So far, I'm on track, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? Then you bring us out to Universal where you say you work in an office to try to help find stuff that will help us find your daughter. I'm on track so far, okay? Mm-hmm. And we get here, we walk all the way down the hall to where you tell us you don't really work here. You don't have an office here, okay? Mm-hmm. So far, everything I've said is true, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, it sounds real to you, okay? I'm telling you this story. I'm saying to you, listen, I dropped my child off 5 weeks ago at the babysitter's house. She's just disappeared. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't call the police and tell them. Matter of fact, I made some attempts to locate her on my own, but I didn't really get the police involved or, you know, do anything like that. Okay. And, oh, by the way, I got my mom and dad's car towed. And then when my parents asked me what happened to my daughter, I told them I hadn't seen her in 5 weeks. So they called the police. Okay. Now, what I did is I lied to the police when they got there. Okay. I told them a whole bunch of crap that isn't true, gave them a bunch of bad addresses to look at where I know that my daughter's not there. And I did all this to try to help find my daughter. Makes sense to you, right? Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to you that I'm trying to help the police find my daughter by giving them a bunch of bad addresses? That makes sense to you?
That's what I said. Yes.
No, I'm asking you. That makes sense to you. My attempt to help him find my child, okay? What I've done to try to help him find my child is I've given him a whole bunch of addresses to go to that are bad addresses. That's what I did to help him try to find my child. That makes sense to you?
I took him to the last place that I've seen my daughter. Besides that, I took them to other places that I've
been. When you brought us here to go look in your office, that was supposed to help us how? Because everything we're doing here is about finding your daughter, okay? So I want you, okay, to explain to me how coming here to go to an office that you don't have, I want you to tell me how that's helping us find your daughter. Because everything, look, every bit of focus right now, okay, you've got three people here to try to help you. That's what we're here to try to help you find your daughter, okay? All right? And we came here to look for clues, to look for evidence that will help us find your daughter, okay? Now, I want you to tell me how that's helping find your daughter. We're here to come search your office for anything that will help us, okay? We're here. Because you brought us here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to tell me how that's helping us find your daughter. But everything we're doing is to find your daughter. That's the most important thing to look to you right now, right?
Kaylee's been up here. Maybe we could talk to security, see if she's come through the front. I know she's come to the park. She's gone to Disney. She's been at SeaWorld. She's been other places.
It's backwards. And why do you think it's backwards? It's backwards because you haven't been truthful with us, okay?
Because I've been reaching.
You've been reaching.
Huh? I've been reaching to try to figure out a place where she actually is.
So, once again, okay, because you never did answer my question. You're reaching and helping find her by bringing us here, this office that you don't have, is helping us find her how? Because what you're doing right now is you're doing everything you can to find your daughter. You have three experienced detectives right now whose sole focus is here to help you find your daughter, okay? And we're here because you brought us here, correct?
Absolutely.
You directed us here because we're going to your office to find evidence that will help us find it, okay? Now that we're here, I want you to tell me how that's helping. What is it we're doing here? What's helping us with that, okay? We've come to an office that doesn't exist.
It's not helping.
So why'd you do it?
Honestly, I wanted to come up and try to talk to security. Maybe pass around a picture of Kaylee. I legitimately have not seen my daughter in 5 weeks. I didn't want anything happen to her, except I trusted her with somebody. Somebody that had been taking care of her, that had been taking good care of her. Something that she was comfortable with, that I was comfortable with.
What about Jeff? You said Jeff worked here about 2 months ago?
No, he hasn't worked here for quite
10 months? How long?
It's been at least 10 months.
Okay. He got fired in 2002. He hasn't been employed here since 2002. What about the girl?
Juliet?
Yeah, what about her?
She left 2 months ago. That's exactly what she told me.
Juliet Lewis never worked at Universal Studios.
I'm sorry. Is the baby's daddy actually dead?
That's a good question. What are you going to find?
Would you?
I still have a copy of the obituary at home.
I mean, you've told us so many untruths right now. I'm confused. Would your parents be upset if you had given the baby back to the daddy and to take back for his grandparents, or for his parents to take care of?
He passed away last year. We hadn't even talked much before that.
So let me ask you this. Is the obituary in your office?
No. I think I have a copy of the obituary. There's no office, so there's no anything anywhere. We've made that clear already.
Right.
So if I have a copy of it still, it would be on my computer at home. I'm pretty sure I kept that. I don't think that's something I would have gotten rid of.
Zanny has never worked here. How do you explain that?
She has an ID. She has an ID with her name on it.
Just like you have an ID?
I do have an ID somewhere at my house. Both of my parents have seen it. Both of my parents know that I've worked here. I used to have an office.
Now, just like you have an office?
No, I don't have an office now.
Okay.
And we're here to go to what? To do what? We're here because what?
Try and put things together.
No, we're here in this building because we put a lot more together than I think you realize we put together. My question to you is, we're in this office because we got here because we got here how? To do what? Our purpose in coming here was to do what? Go where?
I guess there wasn't a purpose. There wasn't a purpose whatsoever to come up here.
So we're wasting time, valuable time, with all to be spent looking for your daughter.
I'm trying to think of places where I know she's been.
You're not answering my question. Do you want us to help?
Yes.
You help find your daughter?
I do want you.
Well, then you need to help. A good starting point would be to answer the questions, okay? Mm-hmm. If I say to you, we're here because, and then you just ignore that, like as if I never asked it, and go off in some other direction, is that answering the question?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go through this again. We're here because we got here how? To do what?
Because I lied. Because I brought you up here. And honestly, I was reaching for...
No, stop right there. I want you to tell me how lying to us is going to help us find our daughter.
That's not what you said.
Huh?
It's not.
Well, and if your thing, if the main thing you want to do is find your daughter, and you don't think lying to us is going to help us find her, why would you do that?
Because I'm scared, and I know I'm running out of options. It's been a month.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared of not seeing my daughter ever again.
Okay, if you're scared of not seeing your daughter again, okay, I want you to tell me how lying to us is going to solve that problem and help find your daughter quick. Because if that's what you want, okay, obviously you're doing things to help us find your daughter, right? And I want you to tell me how lying to us is getting to that end. How is lying to us helping find your daughter faster?
It isn't.
Then why would you do that?
But saying, I don't know, and telling you that I just dropped her off and that was the last time that I've seen her, even starting with that, everybody else is like, well, and what happened after that? That can't just be it.
You remember the phone call you were telling us about?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you actually talk? What day was it you talked to
him? Yesterday.
You remember what time of day?
Around noon. It was from a private number.
Okay. And what'd she tell you? What'd your daughter say to you?
She said, hi, mommy.
And that's it?
And she started to tell me a story, talking to me about her shoes and books.
It's important that you tell me. I mean, maybe there's something in what she said that can help us figure out where she is. What did she say?
I tried to ask her where she was, and she just kept talking about the book that she had been reading. We have videos of her reading the story, and she's telling me the story.
So like she's happy. She's fine. Tell me about a book. No sign of any type of stress at all?
Not at all.
Great. That's wonderful. Let me ask you a question. Your daughter hasn't seen you in over a month.
Okay. And you're saying that everything contained in these statements are true and accurate?
Yes.
Also, before I turned on the recorder, I gave you a chance because I wanted to explain what happens if... Day right now is July 16th, 2008. The time right now is 0411 hours. I'm Detective Mellish with the Orange County Sheriff's Office. Present here at... 4937 Hope Spring Drive. I reference Orange County case number 08-069208. I am with Casey Anthony, is that correct?
Yes.
And Casey, please state your birthday for me.
03-19-1986.
Okay. Casey, you understand this is being recorded?
Yes.
You have any objection to that?
No.
All right. Casey, I got called here and my Sergeant Reggie Hosey with the Orange County Sheriff's Office in reference to a missing child. We've sat here and talked for a short moment. And before we went on tape, because I wanted to make sure that your sworn statement, which I'm looking at, was accurate. I'm looking at four pages of a sworn statement on the bottom. It appears to be your signature. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you're saying that everything contained in these statements are true and accurate?
Yes.
Also, before I turned on the recorder, I gave you a chance because I wanted to explain what happens if you make a false report or if there's something about this incident that you're not telling us the truth of.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure I made it perfectly clear that, you know, if you want to go ahead and rescind this statement, and if you want to tell me a different story about what happened,
mm-hmm.
if you're trying to fabricate a story to kind of make something look a little bit better, now is your time to tell me. Are you telling me that this is the story you want to stick with?
That's the truth. It's the story I'm going to stick with. Yes.
Okay. In your own words, let's go back. Your daughter's name is Kaylee, C-A-Y-L-E-E.
Yes.
Marie Anthony. She was born August 9th.
2005.
Okay. And according to your statement back on August 9th, I'm sorry, back on June 9th, 2008, you took Casey to a babysitter's house.
Yes.
And who was this babysitter?
Her name is Zenaida Fernandez Gonzalez.
Do you know how to spell the first name?
Z-E-N-A-I-D-A.
And where was Zenaida's? Where did you drop your child off?
The Sawgrass Apartments on Conway, Michigan.
Do you remember the address?
I don't remember the address.
Do you remember an apartment number?
210.
Okay.
It's on the second floor.
If you were to pull into the Sawgrass Apartments, would the building be the one closest to the road, furthest back, halfway?
As soon as you go straight, you go over one speed bump, and it's the first one on the right-hand side.
Okay, is there a pool next to it? Is there anything about the apartment that stands out?
There's a welcome sign. It's, I guess there's a little shed close to the building, maybe about 10 yards away.
Okay. How long had you known Zenaida?
Almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years Christmas this year.
And where did you meet her? Who did you meet her through?
A mutual friend. His name is Jeffrey Michael Hopkins. I met him at Nickelodeon Universal, and I met her through him. She was his son's nanny at the time.
Does Jeffrey still work at Universal?
No, he does not.
How long has it been since he left?
About 9-10 months, give or take.
Did he move back to Jacksonville?
He moved up to North Carolina for a short time and moved down to Jacksonville within the last 3 months.
When was the last time you spoke with him?
About a week and a half ago.
Okay. Do you know a telephone number for him?
I can find a number for him. I don't know a number offhand. No, I do not.
You mentioned something before we went on tape about your cell phones.
Yes. I have two phones. I just received a new phone through work, through Universal. The phone won't keep charged, so I use my old phone that I actually had gotten, again, through Universal for work.
Okay. Did you lose a phone?
Yes.
Was it your personal phone?
It was my personal phone, but I also use it for business.
Okay. What's the number for the phone that you lost?
407-619-9286. It's
Did
the
you
same
keep
number.
That same number?
Yes, it's you still the same the number. I just lost the phone.
And in that phone, you're saying was the SIM card, and the SIM card had the contact
Actually,
information?
Actually, the SIM card is in my Nokia phone, but I know there's numbers saved to the cell phone itself. So if we get the actual phone, I know I have one other number for Zenaida and probably a number for Jeff besides work numbers. And
but they're not on your SIM card?
They're not saved on the SIM card. They're saved on the phone. I've been trying to figure out on that new phone how to save numbers from the phone to the SIM card and switch them back and forth. So that way I have everything all in one piece.
Okay. So the phone where you have the number saved was lost?
Yes. I filed an incident report.
But how did you end up keeping the SIM card?
I had taken it out. I know I left the phone on my desk. I'd switched the SIM card back to my old phone because this was the phone that actually would keep charge. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have a working phone instead of having a phone that would only stay charged for about a half hour and then it would die and I can't make any more calls. That's, for me, not practical.
So after you switched the SIM card was when the phone went?
I know I left it on my desk and I hadn't been at work for at least 3 or 4 days.
And you said you made a report to Universal?
Or? Yes, with security.
Nine days ago?
Yes.
So you met Zenaida through Jeffrey Hopkins.
I did.
And his son, Zach Hopkins, I guess. Zenaida used to watch over Zach?
Yes.
And you say you've known Zenaida for about 4 years?
Almost 4 years.
Yes. You knew her before you had your child?
Well, I met her just before. I was actually pregnant at the time. So.
And when did she start watching over your child?
It's been within the last year and a half, 2 years that she started watching Kaylee. I had another friend watch Kaylee that I've known since middle school. When she went back to school, I was looking for a new nanny. Jeff offered to have Zenaida watch both kids. She agreed, and it kind of went from there.
Before Zenaida started watching over your child, who was the nanny?
Her name is Lauren Gibbs, G-I-B-B-S.
And when did Lauren stop watching your child?
Maybe April of 2006.
Okay. And right in April 2006, roughly, is when Zenaida started watching over?
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
When you sit behind the wheel of the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X, you'll feel like the entire world is your playground, and you'd be right. Because this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, the all-new Armada is powerful enough to take you anywhere. With its 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, it will let you bring all your toys along. And with seating for eight, your whole crew can join you. Nissan created a truly capable vehicle in the all-new Armada. In fact, it's the first Armada to earn the Pro 4X badge, which Nissan reserves for its most adventure-ready vehicles. The Armada is a big SUV designed and built for big adventures and must be experienced to be appreciated. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Truth and Justice is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are all things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
How would you normally drop off? Or how would you normally do the exchange with your child in Zelaya? Would you drop the child off? Would she meet you somewhere?
I would usually drop her off for a few months. We would go over to Jeff's house. He lived over in Avalon Park. That was a couple years ago, almost a couple years ago.
And you would go to Jeff's house why?
To drop off Kaylee. That's where Zenaida would go to watch both of the kids.
Okay.
It was in a nice centralized area. He had a decent sized house. It was good room for the two of them. Then I started bringing Kaylee over to Zenaida's apartment.
How long were you using or were you going to Zenaida's apartment? When did you start taking Kaylee?
I guess maybe the end of 2006, beginning of 2007.
So since the end of 2006, beginning of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
He started taking Kaylee to Zenaida's house on Sawgrass.
She had an apartment on, I guess it's considered Glenwood, but it's off of Bumby and Robinson, close to downtown. She lived there for quite a few months and moved over to Sawgrass just recently this year.
Yeah, the house on Bumby. Do you remember the address? Remember where it's at?
I know it's off of Glenwood. I don't remember the apartment number offhand, I do not.
And how long would you say you dropped the child off there from the beginning of end of 06, beginning of 07 to?
Maybe about 6-7 months, so maybe the middle of 2007.
So she moved into Sawgrass about the middle of 07?
She's been at that apartment in Sawgrass for about the last 3 or 4 months. She'd lived with her mom for a little bit.
Where does her mom live?
She lived off of Michigan.
Do you know where the house is?
It's not a very well-marked neighborhood. It crosses just over Conway. It's one of the big stretches of neighborhoods.
Had you dropped the child off there before?
Yes.
If you had to find the place, would you be able to find it?
Most likely, yes. I think I'd remember the house.
Okay. So she was living off of Glenwood. Then moved into her mom's house somewhere off of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And then moved into Sawgrass. So Sawgrass 3 or 4 months ago, off of Glenwood until mid-07.
Mm-hmm.
In mom's house.
Her mom wasn't living there at the time. Her mom had gotten another place with her sister. But she was staying over at the house. and moved in with the two girls that are referenced in the pages.
She was living with these two girls at Sawgrass?
Yes.
Okay. Go back to your statement. You dropped off Kaylee on June 9th. And walk me through, you dropped her off to go to work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get off of work and go from there.
I got off of work, left Universal, driving back to pick up Kaylee like a normal day. And I show up to the apartment, knock on the door, nobody answers. So I call Zenaida's cell phone and it's out of service. It says that the phone is no longer in service. Excuse me. So I sit down on the steps and wait for a little bit to see if maybe it was just a fluke, if something happened. And time passed. I didn't hear from anyone. No one showed up to the house. So I went over to J. Blanchard Park and checked a couple other places where maybe possibly they would have gone. A couple stores, just regular places that I know Zenaida shops at, and she's taken Kaylee before. And after about 7 o'clock, when I still hadn't heard anything, I was getting pretty upset, pretty frantic, and I went to a neutral place. I didn't really want to come home. I wasn't sure what I'd say about not knowing where Kaylee was, still hoping that I would get a call or, you know, find out that Kaylee was coming back so that I could go get her. And I ended up going to my boyfriend Anthony's house, who lives in Sutton Place.
Did you talk to Anthony about what happened with Kaylee?
No, I don't know.
Had Anthony ever seen Kaylee before?
Yes, he had.
I don't know.
Had you talked to anyone about Kaylee, about your incident with Kaylee? Or the fact that she's missing?
A couple people, a couple mutual friends.
Who did you talk to about?
I talked to Jeffrey Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
I also attempted to contact Zenaida's mother and never received a call back from her.
Do you know Zenaida's mother's name?
I think it's Gloria.
Do you know a telephone number for Zenaida's mom?
I do not know.
Do you have any of these numbers programmed into your SIM card that you kept into your other phone?
No, I do not.
How long did you have this old phone?
I've had the Nokia for almost a full year.
Okay. So after a full year of dealing with Zenaida and having a babysit, and you don't remember...
Switching numbers back and forth. Zenaida's number has changed a couple different times. She switched services between having Sprint and having AT&T or Singular.
What about Jeffrey? You've known him for at least 4 years.
His number's changed a couple different times from when he moved from Orlando up to North Carolina and back down to Jacksonville. I know I do have a current number for him.
How would you get that number?
If we can find that other phone, or I might have it online, I may be able to access it off the internet.
Okay. Who else did you talk to about this besides Jeffrey? You said you tried to call Zenaida's mom. Mm-hmm. You talked to Jeffrey. Who else did you talk about?
I talked to Juliet Lewis. She's one of my coworkers at Universal.
She works, you still work at Universal?
Yes.
What do you do at Universal?
An event coordinator.
Okay. What is Juliet, what position is she, where she works?
She's also an event coordinator. We work in the same department.
You have a number for Juliet?
Ooh, offhand. I can't think of one.
She in your SIM card?
No, she's not. Some of the more recent numbers, her number just changed because she just moved back up north. She, within the last 2 months, has finished moving out to New York. She's so, subleasing her apartment.
So Juliet doesn't work at Universal anymore?
No, she does not.
When did she leave Universal?
About 2 months ago.
Who else did you talk to about it?
It's been within that small group. I've tried to find out information from people, going out to different places like Fusion Ultra Lounge and a couple bars that I know Zenaida had gone to downtown before to see if just kind of random talk, if anybody heard about my nanny or talked to her lately.
Did you tell anyone specifically that Zenaida took your child?
No. The only two people that I specifically told were Jeff and Juliet.
And you don't have a number for Juliet?
Not offhand, no. I do not.
It's not on your phone? It might be online.
It's definitely online. I know it's on one of our old worksheets. her old number, which could still be active. I'm not sure if it is, but I know she does have a new number, which I just programmed into that other phone.
When was the last time you talked to Julia?
About 3 weeks ago, shortly after this happened.
So you talked to her after she left?
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason, I asked you this before, I'll ask you just for the record, what's the reason you didn't call the police before? Since right now we're here because your grandparents or your parents asked you about the child and they were concerned, didn't get an answer as to where the child was, they called the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you call prior to today?
I think part of me was naive enough to think that I could handle this myself, which obviously I couldn't. And I was scared that something would happen to her if I did notify the authorities or got the media involved or my parents, which I know would have done the same thing. Just the fear of the unknown, fear of the potential of Kaylee getting hurt, of not seeing my daughter again.
I asked you this at the onset and asked you before we went on tape, and I'll ask you again just to make sure we're clear. Is there anything about this story that you're telling me that is untrue, or is there anything that you want to change or divert from what you've already told me?
No, sir.
Did you cause any injury to your child, Kaylee?
No, sir.
Did you hurt Kaylee or leave her somewhere, and you're worried that if we find that out, that people are going to look at you the wrong way?
No, sir.
And you're telling me that Zenaida took your child without your permission and hasn't returned her?
The last person that I've seen with my daughter, yes.
Where did Zenaida, does she have another job besides watching children?
She has a seasonal ID for Universal. However, the only job that I know that she's had for the last few years, she's been a nanny.
So seasonal employee at Universal?
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time she worked at Universal, do you know?
I have no idea.
Does Kaylee take any medications? Does she suffer from any conditions, any mental conditions that we need to know?
Not at all.
It was brought up before about taking some money from some people. I want to make sure I get it on tape. Do you have any problems with drugs or narcotics, either prescription products or drugs, cocaine, ecstasy, meth, anything like that?
Nothing.
Have you ever been committed for thoughts of suicide? Have you ever been on the lakeside, anything like that?
No.
Is there any underlying cause to why Zenaida would have taken your child?
No, nothing that...
Did she ever make any statements to you about...
Only how much she loves Kaylee and how great of a kid she is.
And have you talked... And when you talked to Jeffrey afterwards, I'm assuming that Jeffrey's child is still with him?
His child is still with him.
Okay. You said Zenaida had family up in New England, up in New York?
She has family down south, her mother and her sister. Her brother's in New York. She's originally from New York.
And where's down south?
Miami area.
Where's she originally from?
New York.
She born and raised in New York? She have family outside of the country? Or
I don't know. As far as I know, she pretty much grew up there, moved down here, went to University of Florida.
She Puerto Rican? Is she Dominican? Is she white?
She's mixed. She's black and Puerto Rican.
And you don't know what her birthday is, or you don't know what her birthday is?
It's in September. That's all I can remember at the moment.
If, when we finish this, would you be willing to drive with me to show me where her mom lives and the apartment that you used to drop her off at?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything I haven't asked you about, Kaylee or Zenaida, or just this incident in particular that you feel is important that you wanted to tell me about before I turn this off?
I mean, Kaylee has very distinctive features, even if her hair was cut or changed. She's dark hazel eyes, they're brown and green. She has a birthmark on her left shoulder.
What kind of birthmark?
It's just like a small line. It almost looks like a small little beauty mark.
There it is.
I just want my daughter back.
Okay. Did you raise your right hand for me?
Yes.
Do you swear and affirm everything you just told me is the truth?
Yes.
Okay, that was, I think, a very interesting interview. Hopefully, if you were listening, you heard the different elements where the read technique was applied, where it was effective, where it wasn't effective. We're going to talk about all of that in this week's follow-up, so make sure you tune in. We'll be recording live on YouTube at 8 p.m. Eastern Time this Wednesday. And just to remind you, that will be our last episode before we have our vacation for a week. So we're going to record this Wednesday. That episode's going to drop this Friday, the follow-up for this episode, this interview with Casey Anthony. And then we'll be off for a whole week. So there will be no episode on the 8th. There'll be no follow-up next week. The next episode you're going to hear is an interview I'll be doing with Amanda Knox. And that episode will air after I'm back from vacation on Sunday, June 15th. And we'll talk all about that after I get back. And we'll hear from you all, hopefully this week, on the Friday follow-up, which again, we'll be recording this Wednesday live on YouTube. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music for Season 15 is created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X at Truth Justice Pod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney. And Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No